Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Phil Elverum Discog Breakdown. I am Alex, and with me is Jake.
Hello everybody, welcome. Here we go.
Welcome. So we're going to do probably a kind of short episode. We're going to be talking about the little Mount Erie era microphones documentary, also about Little Wings, called Wise Old Little Boy. And we're going to be talking about the Mount Erie pseudo concert film Fog Movies.
Yes, this is like a sub interlude episode, like an interlude.
Yes,
as we're still trying to be on a weekly schedule, and yet we're also not able to record the Clear Mooncast until next week, so we figured,
just a holdover.
Yeah, just sort of a little informal, relaxed episode. Not that other episodes of ours aren't already like that, but.
Can I
tell you just like a, this is not related to anything, but just since it's already an informal episode, do you want to hear a fun fact?
Sure.
This is my favorite fun fact. It has nothing to do with Phil Elverum.
Okay.
Also, I don't know how true this is. I learned this in my freshman year of college astronomy class. Our professor told us this, so if it's not true, then I'm sorry, but also then I want my money back. Anyways.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
So yeah, this is an astronomy fun fact. I might fuck up explaining this, but so the universe emits cosmic background radiation left over from the Big Bang.
Yeah.
And it's like detectable as microwaves on the electromagnetic spectrum.
Yep.
And it's microwaves now because it had a lot of time to cool down or whatever. But right after the Big Bang, the radiation was gamma waves. And they can deduce that because, depending on where they point their, like, detectors or whatever, they can kind of track this change happening over time. Like, the further out they look, the faster the waves are because, like, the further you look out into space, you're also looking into the past. Anyways.
Okay.
That means that at some point between gamma waves and microwaves, like billions of years ago, the cosmic background radiation left off by the universe would have fallen within the human visible spectrum, meaning that like if humans were around during that time, the color of the night sky would have slowly shifted through the visible color spectrum from red to violet over the course of like millions of years or something.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's my favorite little fun fact. I hope it's true. I kind of haven't looked it up on purpose ever because I just hope it's true. And if it's not true, then that'll make me sad.
Yeah, I get that.
So I'm just kind of living in ignorance.
That's totally fair.
Assuming that that's real.
Better to live in ignorance.
That's right. That's right.
A little bit of official business before we get started. As you may have noticed, if you follow us on Twitter,
you may have seen one of the 25 tweets that got retweeted about it.
The Indie Heads podcast has started a Patreon.
Yes.
We would love it if you could support us. I don't know how to pitch this.
I did not
plan a pitch in advance.
The lowest tier is just $1, so
yeah, you get access to our Discord. You can come talk to us about indie music, butt rock. They've been talking about weird Family Guy merch for the past hour.
If any of this stuff seems interesting to you, then I would definitely suggest looking into that. We have
We also talked about vegetables earlier today for like a while. That was a great chat.
Yeah, if you want to know my takes on Brussels sprouts, I mean, I won't reveal them here, but they're pretty
that is patron only information. Anyway, also other tiers are like For $5, you can get episodes. Well, I guess you get episodes early no matter what. Sorry. But for $5, there are going to be some bonus episodes, and we're going to have some fun, dumb shit that we probably wouldn't do as podcasts normally.
There's some other very creative episode ideas as well that I'm excited to give a shot. Some cool kind of episode formats that we haven't really done yet, but I won't spoil anything.
Yeah, we're gonna be testing some stuff out, doing some dumb ideas that we wouldn't do otherwise. It's gonna be fun. So if you subscribe to us, you might get like a format that that won't make prime time. You can see the inner workings of the podcast. Anyway, feel free to come support us.
And if there's any venture capitalists out there listening to this,
we have a venture capitalist here. Only $10,000 a month.
Mr. Bezos, if you're out there.
Yes, Mr. Musk and Mr. Bezos, we know you're listening.
They must be listening to this.
Please pitch in. This is not free.
Mark Zuckerberg, you're not allowed to pitch in, actually. All other venture capitalists, though, fine. We'll take your $10,000.
Yeah. Begrudgingly.
Yeah.
But we'll do what we must. Anyway, shouts out to our real one tier patrons, Derek and Maze Farms. Thank you for your support. Anyway, here's the episode. Sorry about that long whatever. Okay. So should we do chronologically? I feel like I have a lot more to talk about Wise Old Little Boy, but I feel like chronologically is how we usually do this.
Let's just start with Fog movies, because like you said, I feel like there's not really like a whole lot to say about it.
Yeah.
And then we can probably spend more time getting into Wise Old Little Boy and any tangents that that may produce.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm a little spaced out. This was kind of a tough time for me to try to absorb this piece of media, because I did it today, and today is also when we launched our Patreon Discord, and there have been a lot of interesting conversations.
Yeah.
And I've just been a little bit like excited and scattered. And this is very much a slow, meditative thing, which I did not super have the patience for right now, though I do think it is cool.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, just to give a little background, I found a little paragraph description of what this is on his website, so I'll just read that. This is a description written by Phil, presumably. It says, "This DVD is for a home simulation of a Mount Eerie concert. The footage is the boring/beautiful Fog movies that have been projected at recent Mount Eerie shows, kind of a movie version of the photo book Mount Eerie Parts 6 and 7. The music is a live bootleg of Mount Eerie performing acoustic live at What the Heck Fest 2007 in the City Hall basement of Anacortes, Washington, recorded by professional bootleggers Jackson Barnes and Billy Scanlon. There are 11 songs and a thunder introduction. If you couldn't make it to any of the yes?
Did you say Billy Scanlon?
Whoa, it's not spelt the same, but like somewhere down that genealogical line, Mr. Mudd is distant
cousin of Wes Mudd.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Finish the...
So there are 11 songs and a thunder introduction. If you couldn't make it to any of the recent Mount Eerie shows, all you have to do is put this DVD on and space out. Ta-da. And that's all it says. So yeah.
That's a good description for
it. Yeah, I mean, that's like basically what it is. It's a live Mount Eerie concert over footage of like various foggy landscapes, I guess.
Gorgeous shots.
Yeah, really.
Not all foggy. There were a couple, like, there's like a forge situation going yes. on during the yes. Gleam Part 2.
During the Gleam
There's
Part 2.
There's a brief 2. Shot of just a, like, a quiet street corner at night.
Yep. I like that Gleam Part 2 shot. Like, it's like some sort of refinery or factory. I don't know what exactly, but they're incinerating something, and there's, like, a guy in a forklift.
Yeah.
And it kind of stands out.
The more you watch it, the more you just get the impression that that is where this song resides. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is a pretty, I mean, the Gleam Part 2 is a pretty intense song. That was the song, right?
Yeah.
Or was that? Yeah.
Which is sort of like, we've talked about this before, it's sort of like representative of death in a way, I guess, or really an abstract concept of death, but sort of like the kind of harsh, intense light of the forge and just the sort of like a refinery or whatever it
yeah.
is, and the sort of like quiet, I don't know, it was just kind of ominous. It just felt very fitting.
It's very striking. And
yeah.
it does stand out because, yeah, like a lot of the, not all of the shots, but a lot of the shots are just these kind of serene landscapes. A lot of shots of what I'm presuming is Mount Erie itself, either from on Mount Erie or from
yeah.
below, like looking at it. And yeah, all this kind of nice, relaxing footage, and then bam, like fire and something being like smelted. It was an image. I don't know. Anyways, I will say that I personally am just like a fan of dark, dreary, cloudy, rainy weather. Like, so I guess I would enjoy Washington State or something. But yeah, it's just like very cozy and nice. And these shots kind of evoke that feeling of like sitting at home when it's like raining outside.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is probably not a normal thing, but if it's like sunny too many days in a row, I get kind of like upset about it. I'm like, man, this is annoying. I wish it was raining right now. I don't know why. It's
you
just like
would
very
like Washington.
Yeah, it's just like very comforting to me, I guess. Like, I like rain and thunderstorms, and just that whole vibe is good to me. And
me too. It definitely starts to like drag on me when it's been too long since there was
yeah.
like precipitation. And there is like, I don't know if you get a sort of like sense of relief and calm when it rains, but
yeah,
I do. And there is
definitely.
There's actual science behind it, though I don't know the details super well. But basically, it like, I think it puts negative ions in the air or something.
Yeah, there is something like that.
Counteracts like positive ions from pollen or something, and it makes the air feel cleaner and more fresh.
Yeah.
And whatever.
You can like smell
like,
more.
It's kind of like an antidepressant.
Yeah, I like that, and I think that this sort of video exists in that realm of things, I guess you could say. So I really enjoyed it when I just kind of had it on idly. I wasn't like super intently paying attention to every shot, you know, because a lot of it is just like a 2-minute shot of like a mountain or something.
Yeah.
But it's good. Like the concert is good too. He does he runs through an acoustic rendition of every song from Mount Erie Part 6 and 7. Sort of counterintuitive because that album is so like heavy, but
yeah,
I thought it worked really well. They were really pretty.
No, it was good. Yeah, I was definitely going into it, I was like, how does Unknown World work in this scenario? But it did.
Yeah, in fact, I sort of thought it was like the songs were still very effective to me on the acoustic guitar because I could sort of hear the chord structures more, and like I feel like the melodies popped a little more. Just because there weren't so many layers. Not that I love the original version as well, but I don't know. It was just sort of like it was refreshing to hear these songs in this mode. I was sort of surprised how much I was into it, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to the quality of the songwriting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are good songs. I was pretty hyped at the Dawn songs. I love them, and they're good.
Yeah, he played Who. There was It Wasn't the Hunting, you know, kind of classics.
Yeah,
Grave Robbers also, you know, great song. He plays a song called Certainty, which I don't think has been on any of the albums we've talked about so far.
It is not. We have not heard that song.
There's a song called Uncertainty on Song Islands 2 that also he plays during these Fog movies, but I never heard Normal Certainty. It's not like a mind-blowing song or anything, but I was like, oh, I don't recognize
Notable.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I noted, and a lot of these shots, I'm just assuming, are shots of Mount Erie. I don't know for sure. But there's this one shot of what I'm the one that I'm most sure is Mount Erie, which is just a sort of like dramatic cliff face, where like trees kind of like run up and then it just like cuts off. And it just looks very ominous, and like I can understand why, you know, if you lived under the shadow of that for your whole life, that it would be like a striking image to you.
I am looking it up. I don't know, there aren't a lot of pictures of just like the mountain. Like, there are pictures from the mountain, or right, like in the foothills or on a trail or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I feel unsure that is Mount Erie. Because it's not actually, like, a super big mountain.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now that I am also just Google imaged it, and maybe that shot was not Mount Erie.
It does have, like, a rocky cliff face on one side, but it doesn't...
It's not as dramatic as the one in the Fog movies.
Yeah, but at the same time, it could just be, like, the angle he shot it at, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
I don't know, and there isn't, like, a good picture here that would tell us, I guess.
The geography of this area reminds me a lot of where I lived for a long time in Minnesota, in a place called Winona, not to, like, dox myself, but... it was just like a lot of bluffs that like weren't necessarily tall enough to be considered mountains, but they're still like pretty tall. I guess foothills would be like another word for it. And like a lot of just kind of like little splotches of water everywhere. It looks very similar. So I don't know. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm good on this, I think.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Fog movies is really pleasant.
Yeah, check it out.
And yeah, if what we've been talking about sounds like your thing, it's good. You should try
yes.
it.
Yes.
Definitely feels like an enjoyable thing to put on, like, during, I don't know, I don't want to call it relaxing.
Yeah.
But just like, I don't know, you're just hanging out, and you sort of put it on, and you aren't, like, 100% watching, but, like,
maybe if you're,
there.
Like, doing homework or something,
yeah,
you don't want something that's, like, super distracting, but is, like, some nice images to look up at periodically while you're just listening to some nice Mount Erie tunes.
It feels like it presents, like, an environment and a hashtag vibe. Like,
hashtag vibe.
Lo-fi beats to chill, study, relax to.
Yes.
Yep. I guess it's, lo-fi hip-hop beats? I don't know. I think
there's several, like, similar variations of that on YouTube.
Yeah, okay. So the next movie we're talking about is Wise Old Little Boy, which is a documentary thing. It's short. It's only an hour long. But it's a documentary of a sort of miniature tour that Phil Elverum and Kyle Field of Little Wings went on in like eastern Washington and northern Idaho.
Yes.
And I really liked it a lot, actually.
It's very pleasant and interesting. There's a lot of interesting kind of little...
Yeah, it feels just like a really, like gently rendered portrait of two people moving from place to place, performing their art for strangers.
Yeah. It's not like a meat and potatoes documentary where there's like confessional interviews and stuff. It's kind of just like footage of them playing these shows, kind of mixed with footage of them talking, maybe like answering certain questions, kind of back and forth over the course of what I imagine is like a couple weeks of them doing this little tour.
And there's none of that usual like larger than life pretense that often like anchors so many tour documentaries of musicians. These are just dudes. We knew that, but that is how the movie wants us to feel also.
Yes.
And it's nice. It's
nice.
Refreshing.
They're doing material from mostly, like, I think this tour is technically for Mount Erie, the album.
Yes.
As they're performing songs from that album as well as a couple songs from the Globe.
Yeah, primarily
so it's kind of in
that
area.
There were a couple like sort of B-sides from the kind of long transitional period that happened, you know, like between the Microphones and Mount Erie.
Yeah.
I mean, technically not really, but like we'd see a lot of these songs in collections, I guess. Or see these songs in a lot of collections is more what I meant.
Yeah, there wasn't anything that was like super like brand new or anything. There were some Little Wing songs that I thought were very pleasant that I never heard before. Specifically, I wrote it down. What is it called? I have to control F this. Oh, it's called Look at What the Light Did Now.
I like that too. I have never listened to Little Wings, but I'm definitely interested to check it out.
I looked up because they played that song, and there was some footage of them like laying in a field or something, and I was like, I really like the song. So I googled it, and the first video is actually Kyle Field playing it with Feist, who is an artist that I'm also familiar with, and I didn't know they were connected in any way, so I was
sort of
surprised that they did that song together. So I haven't even listened to it, but I bookmarked it, so I'm gonna listen to it after this probably. There's just a lot of fun little tidbits.
Yeah, for sure. I already provided a sweeping description of the movie, but it's such a warm, like, document of this period of time, I guess. Like, I don't know, it just feels very anchored in, like, 2004, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's also, like, I don't know, I guess this is kind of a tangent, but, I found it really comforting to watch. Like, it was so nice to watch this and feel immersed in a time when we could just go out and do things and see people and make art with our friends. The pandemic fucking sucks. Not a big fan.
No, yeah, that's very true. And actually, I have a somewhat related note to that, but there's a scene in this little, on one of the shows he's playing, where Phil says, I don't remember the exact like verbatim sentence, but he was like, man, I'm extremely sick right now. I just have like, I'm just like really fucking sick, and here I am playing the show. And I was like, wow, that's just like, that type of thing is probably not gonna really be a thing anymore. It's like something that I wouldn't have even like registered before, and now I'm just like, oh
you're extremely sick.
Yeah, right.
Please stay away from me.
Yeah. This is a side tangent, but in 2011, I don't know how old I was in 2011, like 15 or something, I went and saw Soundgarden live, like, while I had the flu, like, straight up I had the flu, Like, wow. It was so sick. But I spent like $70 on these tickets. So I was like, I don't give a shit. I'm like going anyway. And I went, and like, I wasn't like throwing up or anything, but I was like really fucking sick. And I like, nowadays, I'm obviously like, should not have done that. But it was just like,
yeah,
different attitudes towards that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I had another tangent. Semi-related, I saw Lady Gaga in 2018.
Okay.
I guess September 2018. No.
Okay, okay. No?
Maybe September 2017. I don't know. I saw her sometime on the Joanne tour. And I got fucking pink eye at that show.
Damn, that's fucked up.
Someone managed to give me pink eye.
Yeah, what the hell?
I can't remember exactly how it happened. I think... Oh! I was like... These two people were in the middle of a walkway and having this really, like, lively conversation. And I tried to sneak by them, and this woman who was gesturing just hit me, like, right in the eye with her hand. And damn. That's how it happened. I guess, or I assume so.
Right, it's like, what else? Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I had pink eye, and I had to miss, like, the first week of the semester. Because I had pink eye.
That's fucking brutal. Yeah, I haven't had pink eye since for a very long time, but
yeah. Okay, sure it was sucks. Definitely it was definitely September 2017. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I just had to sort that out in my brain. Anyway, back to the movie.
Wise old little boy.
One thing I noted was it's like interesting to see some of this stuff performed, especially like their performance of Number 4 Mount Erie.
Yeah.
Because when I'm like in the zone listening to the Mount Erie album, I totally take it seriously. You know, I'm not like, I take it at face value and sort of experience the weirdness of what it is just in like a, you know, kind of genuine emotional way, but
right, and like meanwhile,
like it's kind of absurd and it's kind of funny and in a way that can really only come out when two people are trying to perform it live and doing the voices and stuff.
Yeah,
like
they're just like totally fucking around, like,
oh yeah,
just like jump in and like it's very theatrical, like they're doing like they're not just playing the song but they're like performing the like narrative of the song basically.
Yes.
And very entertaining.
I think part of the difference is, I guess, on the album, you know, it's backed up, like all these like ridiculous dramatic things are backed up with intense instrumentals and weird sounds and stuff that just fits it and frames it in a serious way. But then when it's just like two dudes and an acoustic guitar, it just gets really funny.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're almost sort of forced to embrace it from that perspective, because unless they have like the full backing band, it's like it's gonna just sound ridiculous because of how the
I doubt it was hard for them to do that also though, like,
yeah, no,
like I don't think it was killing Phil to have to be fucking around here.
No. There's a part of that also I really liked is in more than one shot, but this shot as well, there is a little like actually sort of large paper lantern ball.
Yes. Yeah.
Hanging from the neck of his guitar that I'm assuming is supposed to represent the sun or
yeah,
know, whatever,
presumably the sun.
And I just like how sort of interactive and how intimate this type of concert feels. Even the other ones that we were originally going to talk about, like the early Microphones bootleg concerts, it's just usually like an open like community center room with like 30 people in it, and they're all just sitting cross-legged on the floor, and it's just like filling an acoustic guitar and maybe like one or two other people tops, and they're just kind of vibing. And it seems like a good time. It seems like it would have been a cool type of concert to go to.
Oh, definitely. Those are often my favorite shows. Stuff like that, or like with that general kind of vibe or ethos. The funniest one was the cafe performance, the coffee shop.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just something about Phil and Kyle there, and the big sun lantern hanging off his guitar, and them surrounded by like confused coffee shop patrons sitting on couches. It's the best.
They always have like really good banter. Not
that these like not that they were like totally clueless or something. Just, you know, it was clear they like. Like, a lot of them were not familiar with the work, and so this was a novel experience.
Yeah, it's, you gotta, in those types of situations, if you're playing in a coffee shop where, like, no one knows your music, it would be sort of weird to be, like, super self-serious about that type of thing. It's like,
yeah,
I feel like they're just having a good time with it, and that's probably the best way to make the people who don't know your music also have a good time with it.
They played I Want Wind to Blow and the Glow Part 2 in full at that show.
And they played like an indie. They played like an indie rock version of "I Felt Your Shape" with like totally different lyrics. I don't know if you.
I didn't like it, honestly, but it definitely.
I mean,
notable.
I like the original much more, but I was
yeah.
I was sort of intrigued by this other version, this rockin' "I Felt Your Shape."
No, yeah, it was really funny. It was really funny to hear it as. Like an indie rock song.
there's a couple of moments that made me laugh, just them like talking on stage. There's one where I'm trying to find the quote. Oh, he's like, "Does anybody wonder why we're here?" And then someone in the audience is like, "Yeah." And then he's like, "We're on tour in this region." And that was all. Just made me laugh.
Yeah, I had spaced out for a second, and I didn't really catch that connection, or that was like a question and response kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I still found, oh, we're just on tour of this region, really funny.
I know. There's
or in this
there's
region
just...
or whatever.
There's a lot of moments like that, like
The banter was really quality in this tour.
It is. There's another. We talked about this a lot on the Glow Part 2 episode. Another sort of bootleg Mount Erie or Microphones concert live at Pete's Candy Store or something. And there is, he's just talking about how he's like selling his truck or something. He's like, "Does anybody want to buy my truck?" I just sort of like that, like very informal. Concert experience. And I guess, well, I wouldn't say his, I feel like his concerts even now are very like intimate, and he usually doesn't come with like a lot of extra bells and whistles, but I don't know, there's something very unique, I think, about what I've seen from early Microphones concert footage.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's definitely a specific like attitude that's displayed in those shows.
And that actually, I was gonna ask a question. I'm curious how popular were the Microphones at this time? Because the Glow Part 2 was like the Pitchfork album of the year in 2001, but also Pitchfork in 2001 was like not nearly the same level of a publication that it is now. So I have a hard time figuring out what that like level of popularity would have been at that time, because these concerts, it looks like there's not a lot of people there. It's usually maybe like 30 people, 50 people tops.
Yeah. No, I've been wondering that too. I get the feeling that, like, I don't know, it seemed like the Pitchfork Album of the Year thing had impact. Like,
right, yeah, I would say so too.
Stuff I've seen or heard people say.
Well, it must have, because there's the whole Kid A review, you know, I never seen a shooting star. And that was before.
Shouts
this.
Out.
Yeah, whoever, I can't remember the guy that wrote that.
I get the feeling that the microphones weren't huge, but maybe had some level of clout, and that would continue to grow, obviously. But also, I kind of get the feeling that Phil was not actively seeking out shows where a lot of people would show up. Especially from this documentary, like, it almost seems like the point was to play shows where no one would be there.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that reminds me of either, it's funny, I can't remember if this is an answer from one of his AMAs or if this is like a lyric on Now Only. But at some point he mentioned how during these early years he didn't have like any sort of manager or anything like that. Like, he had to organize the tours all by himself, and he would literally just like call individual venues, and he was like his own tour manager setting everything up. So like, he never really was, I don't know. It seems like he was very much like in control of the types of places and the types of concerts that he was doing. So
yeah,
I agree. Ooh, I remembered another thing that I thought was funny. I'm just kind of scrolling through my notes here. Yeah. There was a part where they were just like sitting in some room, and Kyle was like, "Do you want to try and learn 3 songs for us to play before our show starts in like 30 minutes?" And Phil is like, "Yeah, that sounds reasonable." And so I guess they just like learned and practiced 3 songs to play before their show started in 30 minutes. And I don't know, I just like that attitude they take towards the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very like scrappy, freewheeling kind of tour. There's this moment where it seems like they're just sitting in someone's backyard in lawn chairs, like,
oh yeah, Phil took his shirt off in the yard,
and you get the feeling that, like, you know, this is a stranger's yard. Like, I did not get the impression that they were somewhere they were like,
I guess I never thought about that.
Would have been, I don't,
that's
I don't
a good
necessarily
point.
Think they well, were just, like, randomly in someone's yard. Like, I'm sure there was communication around it or something. But just, like, you can tell it's a new place, I guess. And they're just sitting there playing.
That makes sense. I just assumed it was one of their yards, but they were on tour, so it totally makes sense that it was not one of their yards, since they would have just, like, been at home.
And they're also like on tour in a place where it seems like they hadn't really been, you know?
Yeah.
Or like don't necessarily go to.
Right.
Because I mean, you know, Phil explicitly says in the doc that he wanted to play in places where people would not normally go on tour.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know for sure. I don't have too much more to say.
Yeah, I don't think I really do either. There was some like skateboarding footage that I thought was funny. But other than that, I think I've gone through the majority of what I like have written down anyway.
Yeah. It's a cool little documentary. Not like the, I don't know. Yeah, it's worth watching, I guess.
Not to jinx it, but it's got like 909 likes and 0 dislikes on YouTube, which is quite the ratio. Quite the ratio.
I'm gonna add to it.
Yeah, make it 9-10.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Yes. Next week, I think, well, next episode.
I'll yeah, say. We should be back next week with AJ guesting. Yes.
Our biological father.
To talk about Clear Moon Ocean Roar, which
yeah, that's
will
right.
be good.
I'm excited. Hopefully. I'm excited personally.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I was mid sentence and I drew a blank. I don't know what happened there. I'm getting tired.
Fair. It's late over there in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Slightly less late over here, but
okay.
All right, bye.